You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Stephen Powell, John O'Connell and Andy Gibson in the studio. It's Newcastle, Southwell and Wolverhampton. Well, hopefully it's those three. Newcastle inspecting at 8am on Monday morning. So do join the guys for that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Will Haler. How are you, Will?
Hello, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Good, good man. Before we get stuck into Monday's action, we're going to take a little bit of a look back at day two of the Dublin Racing Festival. I forgot its name then, Dublin Racing Festival.
This is its first year, you're entitled to struggle. Next year, you must know it.
Yeah, I must. I think before we get stuck into the form, I think it's been a great success, this two-day festival over in Ireland.
I think so too. I think we've had a real mixed bag of results in terms of rank outsiders and hot favourites. But some real quality performances. All the big names are there. Decent crowds. Yeah, I think it's injected a bit of extra interest into this part of the jump season.
Yes. Talking of hot favourites, the hottest favourite really of the weekend was Sam Crow. A lot of talk about Sam Crow coming into this weekend. He's got a huge reputation, and he went and made a mockery of the Deloitte, really. He's won it very easily in the end. And that's made it interesting in terms of anti-post bets for the Cheltenham Festival, because he was long considered to be only going to the Ballymore, never really thought of for the Supreme. He's 4-5 favourite for the Ballymore, and obviously hurdle on the back of that performance, but he's also shortened into 5-2 now for the Supreme. If you can't decide between them, you could also go 4-6 to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. But a couple of things here. Wow, what a performance from Sam Crow. And what race does he go to at the Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty late convert, really. I haven't been that impressed by what I've seen up until now. But it's absolutely impossible to crab what he did today. He beat a field of decent horses, and he just annihilated them. So, yeah, obviously, there are caveats. Cheltenham is a different track, and he's going to face different horses to the ones he beat today. But he does look... He looks the Irish banker, doesn't he? A good friend of mine messaged me straight after the race and said, don't be one of these guys that gets carried away. He's this year's Dun Gwib. He's this year's Death Duty. You know, one of these horses that goes off odds on and gets turned over, and then everyone says, oh, you know, maybe that Irish form wasn't too good. I don't think that's the case. I think he'll probably win at the Cheltenham Festival. I don't know which race he'll win. I just wonder whether they might be a bit wary about meeting on the blind side in the Ballymore. I think he's a nice horse.
Yeah.
And that might sway them towards the Supreme. But I think there'll be a bit of poker over the next few weeks, with a few trainers not wanting to commit to running in one race or another until they found out quite what the opposition are doing. And I suspect a lot of trainers will be waiting for a firm steer from either Jigginstown or Gordon himself as to whether Sam Crow goes Ballymore or Supreme or anything that he chooses to do. Champion Hurdle, maybe, or Gold Cup, or, you know, whatever they fancy. Because on the basis of what you've seen today, he looks like he's going to take some beating in any race.
So if you were to have a bet now, would you play that 4-6 any race rather than trying to second-guess Gordon Elliott and Jigginstown?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think of all the anti-post options, that's the most appealing one to me, the any race option. However, given the way that tempting prices are often dangled by bookmakers on the day, William Hill included, to try and get you to have a, you know, decent bet, if I might just be tempted to wait and back him on the day and see who was going to dangle the biggest carrot in front of me.
Just to refresh those prices, 4-6 Sam Crow to win any race at the festival. If you think he goes Supreme, did win over 2 miles in Ireland on Sunday, of course, 5-2. And if you think he'll stick to the original target and go Ballymore, he's 4-5 at the top of the market for that particular race. Let's talk about another of the big races on the day as well, the Irish Gold Cup, and not so much a hot favourite home in front in this one, Ed Wolf. A 33-1 chance home in front there, beat Outlander and Jackadam. He was a 100-1 chance for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. I haven't seen any change in the market for Ed Wolf just yet. This is a great story, though, isn't it? Ed Wolf obviously almost died pretty recently. He's come back from the brink of death, if you like, to go and win his first Grade One. So, superb story in that respect.
It is. And, you know, what a courageous horse and what a skilled set of people he must have around him to be able to nurse the horse back from an injury that looked as if it was going to prove fatal. And ultimately, he's bounced back.
All the way into 16s now, by the way.
I've got to tell you, I'm not going to be rushing in to take the 16s for the Gold Cup. I thought, depends upon what the handicapper makes that run, but he's in the National. And the way he jumps and stays, and, I mean, he was seeing out the 4 miles of the National Hunt Chase very well at Cheltenham before that injury took its toll at the last fence. So clearly 4 miles plus not an issue for him. If the handicapper doesn't get ridiculously carried away and stick him up to something unfeasible, maybe he's a Grand National horse.
Did you see anything in the race that you would back for the Gold Cup? Because Colour to Vic was coming there with a big chance before falling at the last, probably didn't deserve to come down. Our Duke, out to 12s now, having been 10s before the race, he looks like the shine might have gone out of him. I find it hard to really take a Gold Cup, Cheltenham Gold Cup horse out of the race, perhaps.
I think Colour to Vic was going to win. I feel a bit sorry for Outlander, who was left in front by Colour to Vic's fall and idled and allowed Ed Wolf to get to him. I still don't think Jackadam's firing on all cylinders. He ran an okay race, but nothing too exciting beyond that. Manella Rocco was going quite well for a lot of the race, but then dropped away and was tired when he came down at the final flight. I hope he's okay as well. No, I don't think I saw anything to worry Connections of Might Buy or Native River too much there.
Okay. Also on the card, we had the Juvenile Hurdlers in action. Mr. Adjudicator winning the Spring Juvenile Hurdler, beating Far Class and Grey Waters in the end as a result of that. We've got Mr. Adjudicator at 8-1 now and Far Class at 9-1 for the Triumph Hurdle. Espoir Delaine, who was the favourite for that race, is now out to 14-1. Do you see anything there to worry Apple Shakira backers or whatever in that race?
I thought We Have a Dream ran well at Musselburgh.
You did, didn't you?
I like that performance. He had to work for it, but that's no bad thing. When a horse learns something from the experience, as I think We Have a Dream probably did today, I think the runner-up, Active Valor, is a horse they think a bit of. And, I thought that was a reasonable performance. Mr. Adjudicator, be interesting to know what Willie Munden's thinking is, because he's also got Stormy Island, who's a point shorter than him in the Triumph Hurdle betting at 7-1. And I suspect Willie Munden's has probably got a better idea than I have as to where those two sit in the Mullins pecking order.
Anything else you took out of the card from Sunday at Leopardstown?
From Sunday at Leopardstown, yes, Mona Lee ran a smashing trial for the RSA and looks every inch like going back up to 3 miles is going to help him. Jumped really well today. He's got developed a great relationship with the jockey, Noel Feely, and I thought that was a very decent RSA chase trial. I think 9-2 is a very fair reflection of that performance. They all came to have a go at him and they couldn't get past him. And the way he was pulling away again at the finish and the way he got home over 3 miles in the Albert Bartlett last year says to me that Mona Lee is going to take some beating the RSA.
Yeah, they stacked up in behind him to come and have a go at him, didn't they? And he kept fighting them off. So good performance from Mona Lee. 9-2 second favourite behind presenting Percy at 3-1 for the RSA in the anti-post market here with us at William Hill at the moment. Do you think we saw a Grand National clue in Total Recall, by the way?
I do like Total Recall. I don't think he's impossibly priced either. I presume they're going to go straight to Aintree now and not run again. So it'd be really interesting to see what mark he gets when the weights come out the week after next. And I don't think 20-1's a bad price at all, really, for a horse that's clearly going the right way. And Mullins has placed him brilliantly to nick another €44,000 today without doing any damage to his chase handicap mark. Good fair play to the Connections for spotting that opportunity.
Mm. Winning today the William Fry handicap hurdle at 5-6, the favourite there. So that's a look back at Sunday on day two of the Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown. We now move on to Monday's action. We've got a couple of races that Will has picked out for us, his best couple of bets, if you like, for Monday's action. The first of them is at Southwell. It's the 2:30 handicap chase over the extended mile and 7 furlongs, a field of 7, set to go to post for this one. And a fairly open-looking handicap chase here. Will, which one do you like in here, or which ones do you like in here?
Yeah, Henry Oliver's been in better form this season than has been the case for a while, and I like this, taking advantage of the new system that allows you to run a horse slightly above the weights bracket. To put that into English, this is a race restricted to horses rated 0 to 110. However, if the race doesn't fill, they've changed the rules to mean that you can enter horses rated 111, 112, as long as they carry a bit of overweight, which is what's happened here. Keelhaul's rated 112. He's found this race that hasn't filled properly. He's able to run him. So he gets 12-3, but he's put a £7 claimer on. An experienced £7 claimer who knows the horse, rode him last time. I think the drop in grade is a massive plus for Keelhaul. He's been struggling for a while now, but he's come a lot down the weights. This is his softest race for a long time. Stable in good nick. Got to be Keelhaul for me.
Keelhaul, the pick for Will there in that 2:30 at Southwell then. And the second race that he's picked out is the 6:15, a conditions race over the extended mile at Wolverhampton. Just the four of them going to post for this, which is something we often see in these conditions races, I suppose. But which of the four do you think comes home in front?
Look, this is an off-the-wall selection, and we haven't got any prices as I speak. I'll be disappointed if he's not double figures, though.
Okay.
I think you'd be looking at around the 10-1, 12-1 mark for him. He's got a lot to find on ratings, but this is a horse for who he's the most luckless horse I've followed. Nothing ever seems to go right for first selection. If you go back through the mists of time, Mark, yeah, he was second in the French Guineas a couple of years ago. And then since then, it never seems to work out for him. It's either he has his stamina stretched by soft ground, or he runs on rattling quick ground, which he just can't operate on. He doesn't need some sympathy in the surface, which is why I think he'll go well on an artificial surface. He has run on artificial surface in Maidan and handled it perfectly well. What I like about his overall profile is that he seems to run his best races on the back of a break. If you look at his best achievements in the past, he seems to just go particularly well on this first start after an absence. So I'm hoping that the break he's had since he ran at Goodwood in August, combined with the fact that he's had an operation to the most sensitive area on his body, will help him focus. I really think this is a talented horse, and you've got to be really forgiving to make excuses for the number of defeats he's endured since he won a Group 3 at Sandown as a two-year-old. But I am a forgiving person, and I believe he can break that very long losing sequence. I think the gelding operation is going to help him focus. I think the surface is a plus for him. The trip's a plus. I think the small field's a plus. And all in all, I think his chance will probably not be accurately reflected by the odds. I like this horse.
Yeah, and I like the way you put about the gelding operation. That's the...
Well,
that's where I've heard it.
The thing is, I completely understand why they've been reluctant to do it, because he was second in a classic.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
obviously connections are thinking to themselves, this horse has got stallion potential here. If we can just get him firing again, if we can get him to win a group race, we can market this horse as a stallion. He's classic placed, and he's from a good family. But eventually, they've just tried so many times, and now I think they've probably, at the end of last season, just thought, it's not going to happen for him. He's not going to quite make the grade as a stallion, so we'll have to do what we'll have to do and see if that refocuses his attention. And if you go back through his form, you can find at least two or three pieces that give him a really, really good chance. And the horses that he's up against here are not world beaters. Mr. Owen is a talented horse. Again, he's been out in Maidan in the past and has run respectably in conditions races. He won on the artificial surface at Deauville last time, so he's coming in good form. Arcanada's been running really well recently for Tom Dascombe, but, you know, he only beat Gabriel last time, and Gabriel isn't a regular winner, does he? He finds it hard to get his head in front, consistent as he is. So I'm not sure I think that the official ratings accurately reflect the relative abilities of these horses. And if the bookmakers take those ratings literally into account, then you're going to get a decent price about First Selection.
First Selection could be a bit of value then in that 6.15 at Wolverhampton. And just to recap, the selection at Southwell in the 2.30 was Keel Hall. It's been a pleasure, Will. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy the action on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The selections of Will Hill then on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.30pm. Stephen Powell, John O'Connell and Andy Gibson, the team in the studio for the meetings at Newcastle, Southwell and Wolverhampton. Just do double check that Newcastle goes ahead, because there is an 8 a.m. inspection there on Monday morning. Do join the guys for that, though. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.